Hello, welcome back. So I've been thinking a lot about how depression plays on art making, artisanship, you name it. Not just depression, but stagnation as well. And the lies that it tells us when we are creating. I've recently gotten back into journaling. I do what I call micro journaling, where I have these small sticky note prompts that just asks a couple of questions, and I put them all in like a 3x3 journal or a 4x4 sketchbook or something like that. Usually it's about 3x3. And that way I can just kind of brain dump at the end of the night. But I was going through a bout of depression and anxiety, and I was coming to the end of my dissertation, writing my dissertation. And that was an extremely frustrating process. I had one of my advisors quit from my committee at the very end, and so that took a toll on me. There was pressure from all sides, and then I was in the midst of being harassed and stalked at work, as well as at home, by someone. And so I just pretty much stopped journaling, and I wish that I had not, but that was an extreme case of stuff going on, and I didn't funnel my thoughts into journaling, which I felt like would have unclouded my mind so that I could produce more. But I also was in the midst of moving during all of these things, not only just moving from where I had lived for over a decade, but I was also switching states. And these things put an extreme damper on my mental, my psyche, unfortunately. But I recently had gotten back into journaling, and kind of almost doubled my efforts. I got back into my micro journaling, but I started an even smaller journal that I found that was a keychain size journal, no bigger than my finger. And I thought that it would be a great opportunity to look over moments in my life over the past couple of years that I had not allowed myself to celebrate. For some reason, I've thought that it was okay to live like this life of stoicism where, yeah, I had these things occur and I don't have to necessarily celebrate them, because I felt like that would almost, corrupt the experience. And that was a very naive and juvenile way to look at what I had experienced, the things that I've gone on. I recently got into hiking and camping, and this is my first year that I had actually gotten to explore them with the veracity that I have. And I've met some amazing people. I became a member of these friend groups that specifically catered to women who went outside and played, essentially. And I love that for myself. And I don't think I've ever given myself the opportunity to love that for me. And so as I was coming out of this fog, this cloud of funk, essentially, it became extremely important to me to get back into the things that I love, and not just when it comes to art, like doing things outside. I used to love as a kid walking through the woods and getting lost. One of my favorite things is actually getting lost, and not in a crazy over the top sense, but in a sense that renders me unavailable to the needs that aren't really needs, right, of other people. And I've only felt that feeling of quote unquote being lost a couple of times in my life, where I felt like I was off the map or off the grid to some, and able to explore chiefly for myself. But anyway, I say all that to say, I got back into even more micro nano journaling, if you will, where I take my little photo printer. I think I have a Canon Ivy that prints 2x3 photographs, and I'm able to scrapbook it. I'm able to go through my phones, either, you know, my current one or my previous ones, and look at memories that I simply pushed out of my mind or I've forgotten. And that's why we take photos, right? But like, I just remember when I was younger, my parents having photo albums of moments. And I think of how everything is so digital now, and we don't have that. Or I won't say we don't have that, but I don't think we're necessarily intentional about making it. So I wanted to create this nano shot of moments for myself where I'm able to look back and reflect. And I may put words in these things, I may not. Again, this thing is smaller than the size of an ID card, so not a whole lot of writing that can be done. But I can memorialize what was done in photographs, and with just like little snippets of writing. And this gives me an opportunity to use all the small stationery that I have. I'm an avid collector of stationery, but what artist isn't? What artist doesn't have a catalog of pens and pencils and, you know, so on and so forth? So I'm able to use a lot of my Korean stationery that I love so much and just put down moments that brought me joy. And I feel like this is one of the ways that I'm going to regain my mind back from the fog and the funk that has polluted it over the past, oh gosh, 13, 14, 15 months or so. I know I've mentioned previously that I just finished grad school, and that has been an overwhelming experience. And the reason I think I allow myself to talk about it now is because it took me years to be broken in that system. And I'm hoping that it doesn't take years for me to be healed from it, but it will take time. And one thing I don't typically give myself is time. And so I have to have this weaning period that allows me to back off of the norm that I knew for the past 6 years, I suppose. Oh gosh, 6 years of grad school, like with master's and teaching and the PhD program. And that, just like it took time to unlearn the things that I knew that helped me survive up until that point, it's going to take time for me to unlearn the things that I needed to survive in the midst of grad school. And some of those norms are definitely not norms of the world. They're completely different ways of navigation. And I was not being my authentic or genuine artist self. There were things, of course, yes, that I was able to do and allow myself to do and had gotten me a bit of notoriety because of it. For example, I had been featured in my second museum in the state that I lived in, and so that was like a major pat on the back for me, and I actually got featured in it a couple of times now that I think about it. And like, that's wonderful, but a lot of that was very much tied to research. And there's nothing wrong with tying my work to research, but when you have a purpose like uncovering or answering a research question, I suppose, answering a research question or looking into hypotheses, if that is what you are indeed doing, it makes the work more taxing on you, as opposed to creating for what is the thought, art for art's sake. And so I want to get back into art for art's sake. I want to get back into drawing because I simply enjoy drawing, or sewing because I simply enjoy sewing. And I feel that veil or that burden being lifted off of me each time I create a piece. Now, I typically make patches. That is what I rebranded my business as in 2017, I want to say. I think it was 2017. But anyway, but I also create digital portraits and drawings. I do physical ones as well. I have gotten out of doing as much of it because I struggled with coming up with prompts or things that I just wanted to do. So sometimes I would do some little charrettes and kind of get myself warmed up to just doodling like I used to do back in high school. And that was all fine and dandy, but I felt like it was just, I was wandering about aimlessly. But just like I mentioned, going out and playing outside, where's the harm in playing with color or playing with drawing or whatnot? I have looked at so many things that I've done and not liked them because I've been in my own head about it. And I want to move away from that as I am able to shed, or not, I won't even say shed, as I'm able to merge my playful self with my professional self, because I am the same individual that creates, you know, both sides of these things. I want to be able to merge them into one collective and show my purpose through those works. And honestly, that's what my dissertation is about. It's about taking pieces that I've created, whether they've been in museums or I've co-collaborated or co-constructed with other people, and making this web of work that has a central theme that reifies my existence and the existence of people like me. And I want to carry that work that I did there into my business a little more. So my business right now stands on my business is about creating patches, accessories, so totes, and other items. I've done jewelry in the past, and stickers, so stationery type items, and artwork, as I move into print artwork as well as fiber arts, to redeem, I suppose, Black women. That sounds bad. To see Black women, to reify Black women's existence and other women of color, and to pour the love that I have for and appreciation for them into them. And being a fat Black woman myself that needs or has needed that, I want to give it. I want to give it in abundance. And I can't give it if my mind is all, you know, focused on being depressed. So I'm finding ways to get out of that depression mode. I'm getting back into my journaling, and I think I'm twisting it up a bit. I use micro journaling as a way to be creative even when I don't have it. Just little bursts. So I take out stickers and different coloring pens and markers and so on. And sometimes if I don't feel like jotting my days, I'll illustrate a recipe that I've come across. I'm really big into teas. Not much of a coffee person, but there have been some tea blends that I have found online. Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember one of my favorite tea stores, and it evades me right now. But I've gotten some of their tea blends and I've doctored them up at home. One of my favorite drinks is an apple mango, I want to say. And another is, it's another apple one. And I kind of make it like a warm apple pie drink that's perfect for this time of the year. And so I'll, you know, bring out the sketchbook and I'll illustrate the drink that I made. And I'll just write the simple recipe. And then that's something that I can go back and look over and see, hey, oh, that's my favorite drink. Let me, you know, whip it out the way that I first did or whatnot. Sometimes there are food recipes that I have made. Sometimes there are outfits for the week that I really liked. And so I'll take photos and I'll print the little pictures out and I'll paste them. And so it just gives me a little bit of inspiration to go back and flip through if I'm feeling, you know, a little burnt out, a little spent for the day, for the week or whatnot. I also use it as a time to kind of write down a frustration and just leave it there. Write down the frustration of something that has happened in the day, in the week, and then not really revisit it if I don't want to. I use it as a gratitude journal. So I got these sticky notes from Five Below a year or so ago, I suppose. And they're called self-reflection sticky notes. So that's pretty much the basis of what I use. And the prompts on it are to look at the inner self as well as the outer self. And I love that because it helps me just take track of my water intake. I don't really use that one as much because I've got one of those water intake bottles. My daily movement, a daily highlight. So something that I try to use that daily highlight as something positive instead of, you know, what went wrong. But on the inner self side, it talks about the mood, what I'm inspired by, my purpose, as well as a self-affirmation. It's a small little prompt. I think it also has some other parts on it, but I happen to cut those pieces off because I don't need them, nor do they fit into the sides of my notebook. And then I'll just write a couple of lines about what I did in the day. I also use it as inspiration for something, for things that I see on social media. So if there's a quote or tweet or something that I happen to find on social media, I'll print that out and I will paste it into the book as well. And one of the newsletters that I'm subscribed to will occasionally do what's called Sunday Self-Care, and she will send those out on Sundays. And sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't, but I love to see those come across because they are encouragements and they help me stand in community with other people and know that, hey, I may not be the only person going through hard stuff. There are other people that are going through hard things as well. And it helps me stay grounded and focused and get me out of my headspace where I am consuming self-pity and I want to break away from that. There are other prompts that I use, like quotes that I found helpful. So I will also post those in here. And then I can write the source and, of course, how I interpret that quote. So that, and I've been doing this, I want to say I started this in 2021. I could be wrong. I have to look at the first journal that I completed, but I know that I'm definitely going at least into my second year. If I remember correctly, I may have started September of last year. I don't remember, actually. But it's been a great way for me to kind of just journal some ideas that I've been going through. I also keep a digital notebook in my phone on idea creation. And the sad thing is, like, I have a notebook specifically catered to different types of ideas. And it's been difficult for me to execute those. And so I'm one of those people that I have to push and push myself. And sometimes I have to do it blindly because if I give myself too much time to think about it, I will not do it. So last week, I actually wanted to take some portraits that I had painted, digitally painted. Ooh, in 2021, 2022, and complete them. Like, they were almost completed. That's the crazy thing. I think I had like one or two more things to do. And that's a form of self-sabotage. I completely know that about myself now. But I told myself to complete it, and I told myself that I was going to test the prints and print it out, and I was going to post it on my website, post it on my store. And I dawdled around for a bit, and I finally told myself, like, no. I printed several different sizes to see what I liked best, and before I knew it, I posted it, and I was so proud of myself for doing that. Now, I haven't advertised it yet. That's another thing. And I've been talking about making a video to post it, but I haven't been able to get out of my head about it. But I know sometimes we paralyze ourselves with overthinking, and I don't know why this particular thing affects artists the way that it does, but I want you to know that you are definitely not alone when it comes to overthinking your actions, and that we need to get to a place of community so that we can encourage each other, because it's a bunch of us standing alone, not wanting to pursue or not even pursuing the things that we are blessed to do. So many of us are super talented, and I've got a buddy that I've been encouraging to do the same thing as me, and I find that when I encourage him, those words encourage myself as well. So I've been telling him how much I believe in him, and I think that he should just bite the bullet and go full gusto and pursue his art. And he's just like, yeah, but I, so many choices, and this is how I get paralyzed. And I'm like, I completely understand that. I completely understand being paralyzed by having so many choices or wanting to do so many things at one time, but you're only one person. But you have to take the plunge and just do one thing. So we've been checking up on each other periodically. Actually, over the past couple of weeks, we've been checking in about once a week and figuring out what we've been working on. So the other night, we were sharing some things back and forth, and I was showing him I've been doing some physical paintings of, it's a sewing series, which I've never really done before, but I've been in love with the work. And I started one and I just kept going. And he was telling me, like, how good he looked. And that meant a lot to me, because usually he issues a critique before he issues a compliment. And so there was no critique. And he's just like, the way you play with color is amazing. And it really worked. So I've taken that kind of as a green light to do the thing that I wanted to do, which was to take those from my physical sketchbook, bring them in, put a digital background on them, and sell them as prints. And I'm saying this now so that I hold myself accountable for doing that thing, because I know that I need to hold myself accountable. But I'm going to use this as an opportunity to talk up my work more. And I feel the urge to do that. I know a lot of people also who create things, who are creators, feel the urge to be more transparent and authentic with the world, you know, in this day and age. And so I'm using this as an opportunity to hold myself accountable to produce things that I've been working on for years. And I'm talking years that I have not let the world see. And it's silly, because who am I creating it for? I'm not even consuming it. And not that I wouldn't. It's just, I make it and I hide it on the, you know, I hide it on the shelf. What good does that bring anyone? Especially if I'm talking about building community. How am I building community by hiding away? Oh gosh. Major realization moment. So I'm gonna end this episode on getting ready to actually do work. But thank you for hearing my ramblings and my musings today. Until next time, bye.